to have you young people lead our service for us. And also, not only is it a good change in itself, but you've talked about change. And that's brilliant too. Because whether we like it or not, change happens, doesn't it? Change actually happens. There's some change that changes around us. Michael's already prayed about some of the bad change that happens around us. But did you know in the next minute, just in 60 seconds, one person, and I guess it's a lady, is going to have a baby in the United Kingdom. I hope it's nobody here. 250 ladies will give birth around the world in the next 60 seconds. In the next 60 seconds, McDonald's is going to sell 4,500 hamburgers. And that's just the Shirley branch. No, of course not. Amazing. In the next 60 seconds, the richest man in the world, Bill Gates, imagine this. In the next 60 seconds, he's going to add another £10,000 to his bank account. Hands up those who want a pay rise. Hey? Change happens around us, doesn't it? You know, there's a lovely little picture there. See how change happens around us. And not only happens around us, change also happens. Isn't this true? It happens to us. Have you noticed that? Some of you younger people, change is going to happen to you. You're going to get fitter. You're going to get stronger. You're going to get cleverer. And you're going to be more and more able to do things in the years to come that you can't do now. But there's one or two others of us here. And the change is going against us in that direction. We're going to get smaller. We're going to get thicker. In every sense of the word. And we're going to get less and less able to do some of the things we once used to do. When I was a little boy, I could deliberately, believe this, I could deliberately run out to my back garden and do somersault after somersault, and I never hurt myself once. Now, the only way I'd be able to do a somersault is if I fell accidentally out of my bed. And I know that it's guaranteed to hurt me if I do it like that. But change happens around us. Change happens to us. Sometimes change happens with us, doesn't it? Do you know how long it takes my grandchildren to choose a bag of sweets in the sweet shop? About 3 days. Amazing, isn't it? Shall I? Shan't I? Will I? Won't I? Do I? Don't. Get on with it. Prices are going up as they're making their choice. Change happens around us. It happens to us. It happens with us. But boys and girls, you've reminded us this morning through your mime, through your songs, through your dance, just by taking part, that the greatest change is the change that happens in us, particularly when that change is brought about by the one who brought that change about in the life of Mary and Peter and John and Thomas. Isn't that true? Oh, he makes such a big change. And if he's made that kind of change, don't you think that people ought to spot the difference? Don't you think so? It's a lovely thing. I've got a few minutes to give you the fastest, quickest spot the difference game in the whole wide world. And I put this one up because I've been looking at this for the last week and I can't spot one difference there. So that's too hard. Miles too hard for me. But I've got some now that I hope, in light of what you've already done and what you've already discovered, you can immediately spot the difference. Not just the difference in the picture, but the difference the picture actually represents in certain lives. So you ready for your first one? The answer is yes, Sean, we're ready for the first one. We're still awake, we're just hanging in there. And it'll soon be Christmas. Here's the first one. Spot the difference. Hang on a minute. I'll give you a few moments because it's a tricky one. Anybody not spot the difference? Shall I put it like that? It's great. One door is closed. One door is open. And who do you think that picture pictures. Who do you think, in what you've heard today, that picture pictures? Anybody? Anybody? No? 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 Oh, dear, you have gone to sleep, haven't you? Thomas! Thomas! Do you know, for the first week that Jesus was alive from the dead, Thomas was closed to the good news of it. See, you're awake now, aren't you? Hey? A whole week Thomas went without knowing that Jesus was alive, and he wouldn't believe it when the other disciples told him. He was completely closed off to it because he was missing. He was missing on that first resurrection Sunday when he should have been with the other disciples as Jesus showed himself to them. But when a week later Jesus came and met with Thomas and showed him his hands and his feet, suddenly was open to all that Jesus being alive meant. The truth of it, the joy of it, the hope of it. Do you know, he went a whole week without knowing Jesus was alive. Can I tell you, young people today, you older people today, I wouldn't want to go a whole minute, let alone a whole day, without knowing that Jesus is alive. Amen? And yet, a lot of people miss it. Did you read in the paper just yesterday that when the government went out to do a poll, they discovered that at Easter, Jesus was only fourth on the list of what most people thought about? Fourth at Easter. He came in behind eggs, bank holiday, and hot cross buns. I hope we're not closed to what Jesus wants to do in our life. Here's another spot the difference. Oh, it's another toughie. Anybody not spot it? One bottle is... and one bottle is... brilliant. Now, who do you think... who do you think that picture pictures in what you've heard today? Peter. Any? We've had John. We've had Thomas, sorry. Who said John? Well done. Well done. Thank you, Jane. John. Why? Because he was out fishing. You remember the mime? He was out fishing with a few of the other disciples. They were out all night. They caught absolutely nothing. And then in the morning, after being out all night, somebody from the shore shouted out, "Put your nets on the other side." And immediately the one Jesus loved, John, knew that it was Jesus because the nets started to fill up. And when all those nets were full, you could tell they were good fishermen because they counted up the fish. There were 153 of them. Only a fisherman would do that. Any other person would have said we caught about 150. But fishermen... everyone counts. And everyone, I don't know how many are here this morning, it'd be interesting to make a count, but every one of you counts. And you may have come in empty, but if you meet the risen Christ, you can discover he doesn't only just fill empty nets, he fills empty lives, and he fills empty plates, and he fills empty dreams and hopes and plans with his best for them. You full or empty? Do you know Christ or not? It ought to be as obvious as that. And then what about this one? Two hearts beating as one. No, that's not. Two hearts. One is mended. Who do you think that spot the difference reminds you of? Peter, you should know, shouldn't you? Peter. Peter's heart was broken. Why? Because he knew he'd let the Lord down. Three times he said, "I don't know him," when he did. Three times he says, "I've got nothing to do with him," when he did. And so three times when Jesus was alive from the dead, Jesus asked him, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Because Jesus wanted to hurt him? Because Jesus wanted to put the boot in to kick him when he was down? No, because Jesus wanted to help him and bring him up and let him know that all that he'd done, all that Peter had done to deny Jesus, was forgiven. Isn't that beautiful? You know, boys and girls, I can't tell you the number of times I've let the Lord Jesus down. And yet all the time he forgives me, because my Bible tells me, even when I'm faithless, Even when I let him down, he remains faithful and he never lets me down. Isn't that marvelous? So if you're here this morning thinking, oh, you know, I wish I was a better person, that's not the issue. You just come with your failure. Come with your brokenness. Come with your struggles. Come with the things that you find so difficult and let the Lord Jesus mend your heart. And he's alive to do it. And then the last one, oh, one face is happy, one face is sad. I hope you can spot the difference. Who does that remind you of? Mary, of course it does. Because Mary came on that first Sunday of resurrection with a sad face. And it got even sadder when she realized that the tomb was empty. And what did she think? She didn't think Jesus is alive. No, she thought somebody's taken his body. So she was sad, because when Mary looked at the tomb and saw that it was empty, she thought, this is terrible. But actually, when you look at the empty tomb, it's not terrible, it's marvelous. There are times when the Lord has to fill that up which is empty, but there are other times when what is empty is a lesson to us in how good God is. Most of us don't want empty things, do we? I'd rather have a full wallet than an empty one, wouldn't you? I'd rather have a full church than an empty one, wouldn't you? You know, I'd rather have a full stomach than an empty stomach. But when Mary came to the tomb was empty because Jesus hadn't had his body stolen. He was alive. And he comes now in his living presence to fill us, to bless us, to save us, forgive us, and set us on the path to true life again. That's why I hope you noticed, as the mimes were going on this morning and the songs were being sung, flowers were being put in the cross. Because out of death, through Jesus' resurrection, comes life. Because Jesus was planted like a seed into the ground, we can live and enjoy the fruit of all that he wants to fill us and encourage us with. He is risen. I wonder this morning, I still can't spot the difference here. I could look at that for a year, I don't think I spot the difference. I can't spot it. But I hope and pray in what you've seen and heard this morning that you'll leave here, even if you came empty, filled with the knowledge Jesus is alive. If you came here empty of any purpose to your life, you might find it in Christ who's alive to show you his purpose. And if you do, yeah, if you do, can you? Well, yeah, what one is it? Where is it? Show me. Very good. I think you better have the first piece of cake afterwards, all right? You know, it's a good job I'm not that clever. Well done for spotting it. If you can spot that, have a bit of cake too. But I tell you this, I found that hard. I hope when you go back home, when you go back to your place of work, when you play your games with those that you play your games with, when you walk out tomorrow on a bank holiday walk with those that you want to talk with, I hope it will be obvious to them, as it's been obvious to us this morning, that you can spot the difference when Jesus comes and takes his place in our lives. Amen.